Thanks, guys. You may not need to turn to this verse in your Bibles because it's such a well-known verse. But if you're really desperate to, it's Matthew 6, verse 9. And a prize for anyone who knows what it is straight out.
Oh, okay.
It's the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven. Or in the old versions that you might have learnt at school, our Father who art in heaven. We've recently had Mark DuPont with us. And being around someone like Mark DuPont, who's seeing amazing signs and wonders and healings and breakthroughs in the kingdom of God, and I've been speaking to some other people who have seen similar things in this country as well. One thing that kept coming back to me as you started speaking about these events, lots of these people were coming back to the Father heart of God. Knowing God as our Father, and that intimacy that we can have with our Father in heaven, our Abba Father. So this morning I want to look at what it means to have our Father in heaven and how we can relate intimately to him. When Jesus was asked by his young band of followers to be taught to pray, he responded to them, giving them this scripture here in Matthew 6, which we now call the Lord's Prayer. Now, Jesus would have been speaking in Aramaic, which is the common language of his day. So when he would have said this Lord's Prayer to his followers, he would have started and beginning the prayer with the word Abba. Okay, Abba, not the 70s music group. I know sometimes now all music's going around your head there. Please don't go that way. Abba. That's the language that Jesus would have spoken first of that. And it's such an important word. It's such a word of intimacy, of inclusivity, and it was a word that was then retained by the early church. As they began to record scriptures, they retained that Aramaic word of Abba. So that's the first thing we'll look at this morning. Secondly, we'll have a look at this idea of we have a Father who is in heaven, and the power that flows from that. The power we have that we've got a Father who is in heaven, and what we can get from that. But first of all, in the order of those scriptures, it's all about relationship. It's that Abba first, Abba Father. And it's a big deal that Jesus used and the church retained this Aramaic word, because this word was the normal language of their day. If you were a Jew and you wanted to pray, you would actually have to use Hebrew to read the scriptures in and to pray. That was the official religious language of the day. And the followers of Jesus may have expected him to teach them how to pray in Hebrew. But Jesus seems to cut against all this and teaches them in Aramaic. He uses the everyday language that we can have access to God. We don't have to learn a new language. We don't have to get all religious. But we can come to God in everyday language and have access to him through this. The word Abba is one of the first words a baby would learn. Just as we have a baby there would learn Imma, which is the equivalent of mummy, and Abba, the equivalent of father. And it's this word Abba is still used within some Middle Eastern languages. It's a less formal word than calling your father father, but it has with it more respect and less sentimentality than we might have if we use the word daddy to people. So there's not a direct equivalent within the English language. But it speaks, this word, of a great level of intimacy. When Jesus refers to his God as father, it's not a father who is remote. It's not a father who is removed from him, but there's such a high level of intimacy and a reflection of the relationship that you have with your Abba, Father, from birth. There are three places where this word Abba is still used in our New Testament. First, one of them is where Jesus uses it in his own lips when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's in that place of great anguish. And he calls out, Abba Father, can you take this from me? I don't want to go through what you've got in plan for me, but I've come to this point. At that point of crisis, Jesus uses that word, Abba, Father. He draws on that intimacy that he has with his Father and talks to him. And twice, Paul uses it as he speaks about a sign of us being adopted as sons of God. That the Spirit enables us to pray, Abba, Father. So as we recognize our adoption, as we recognize our place in God now, we can cry out, Abba, Father. That's in Romans 8 and Galatians 4. Now, these references underline that the early church was still using and had retained this Aramaic word of Abba. They'd continued to use that word that Jesus themselves had used. Translate it just into the language of the New Testament, Greek, but they retained the actual words that Jesus used himself. They must have seen it worthwhile to retain that intimacy to his Father, that we now, as followers of Christ, as sons of God, can also call him Abba Father. They carried on praying the same way that Jesus had taught them. And as he taught them, he teaches us that we can approach God in that level of intimacy. And this word Abba, as we read it in the Bible, it can be translated as our Father. It's a very inclusive word. God is our Father. We can come to him. There's nothing that can prevent people coming to him. We can trust in him. Even as spiritual orphans, we can come to him. We find a true Father in him that wants to accept us, whether we're male, whether we're female, whether we're black, white, rich, poor, whatever our background. We come to our Father, and he's there with open arms and wants to draw us into his world and into his life. We can get caught up and embraced into this wonderful family of God that we can enjoy, this community of God that is working forward for the purposes of God. And that intimacy is one that Jesus enjoyed with his Father from eternity past to eternity future. When we think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they enjoyed such a level of intimacy. And we ourselves are invited into that by Jesus saying, you can use the same word that I am using to address my loving Father. You too can use the same word. And you have power in that as we come to that. When you marry into a family, you get a whole load of in-laws. And we heard about mother-in-laws last week. And when you marry into a family and you have your in-laws, you may call them by their Christian names, or you may call them mum and dad, but it's unlikely that you would use them by some sort of pet name. You wouldn't call your mother-in-law Mumsy Wumsy, would you? Maybe you do. But because of the intimacy that was there, well, hasn't been there in that relationship, you don't call them Mumsy Wumsy. You call them mother or by their Christian names. What Jesus is doing here is saying, you can come in. You are part of the family. You're not just marrying into it. We're not in-laws. Actually, no, you are joining into the family, and you can call God the Father, by this intimate name of Abba, a name that Jesus has always known his Father by. And you can come into and have that intimacy yourself with Abba Father. What an amazing privilege that we have through that. That's what Jesus has done for us, inviting us to use this term of intimacy, which is reflecting our position before God. We're not way off. We've been brought into the heart of the family of God, and we can call God Abba, Father. And we're to learn ourselves to enjoy and learn how we can become intimate with our loving Father. And people have many different ways of doing this. It depends on your character and what kind of works for you. It might be the Bible. It might be you love reading your Bible. And as you read your Bible, you get that level of intimacy with God. It might be music. It might be worship. It might be that you love being out with nature and kind of being outside and seeing the world. And that really instills that intimacy you can have with Father. It might be using a spiritual gift, the gift of tongues maybe. I think for myself, in the last few years, I found a growing intimacy with using the gift of tongues in my own kind of private time with God. Using that gift and kind of just filling that intimacy, the presence of the Father, just wherever I am really, but knowing that sense that it's with me and the intimacy that is there for me. It's important that we find out for each of us what works for us and that we enjoy that and use it and develop that in our own lives. And we might find it changes over time as well. We all marvel at stories of great healings. When Mark DuPont was here, he's got all these stories he tells, and it's amazing. I've just heard from my friend Adrian Holloway, who is involved in New Day this week. This report was from Thursday of this week, that at New Day, 306 people have made first-time commitments to Christ. 505 have responded to an evangelistic appeal. And 265 people have said that they have been physically healed. Now, praise God. Yes. We love it when we hear stories like that and we see God breaking in, changing lives around. Even with Christy sharing this morning about what's happened with them over these years, with God moving a mountain, it excites us. We want to see God break in. We want to see people healed, moved on, changed in a better place. And as we read the Lord's Prayer through, we pray, "Your kingdom come." But look what comes first. The first thing is Abba Father. The first thing is to rest in the presence and know our God as Father. We want this kingdom to come. We want to see your power break through. Abba Father. We rest first with him. We rest first, secure, grounded in that relationship. And there, from that position, we then pray to see God move in power. In a recent prayer meeting, I think it was Andrew Dowsett, he came out with this line, and I've been thinking about this for some time, this sort of topic, and he said that God does not have any grandchildren. God only has children. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And I spoke to Andrew afterwards, I think he's here today, and he said, yeah, it's a quote from a book. He was kind of very open about it, not one that I come across. But I think it's a very powerful thing to think about. When it's right that we come to the Father through the Son. It's only by Jesus' death, burial and resurrection that we can have access to the Father. And we're going to celebrate that today, and rightly so, when we break bread. So we have access to the Father through the Son. That could somehow mean that we are less than the Son, because the Son has done it for us. So we become almost grandchildren of God because we've come through the Son. But no, we're not grandchildren. We are sons. We are lifted up to the same place in God's heart that his Son Jesus is. Because we are invited by Jesus to call the Father with the very same name that Jesus himself calls his Father. So we're lifted up. We're not sons of sons. We're sons of the Father. We're not grandchildren. We are sons. And we can call upon God as Abba Father. And Christianity must surely be so unique with that level of relationship, with that level of intimacy that is offered when we access and come to God. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. That's what Christianity is about. And our Father speaks those words of relationship. It's our Father for everyone, and is intimate to us. But it's amazing that this line ends in "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. Our Father speaking of that intimacy, but he is one who is in heaven. Our Abba is an infinite Father. Not here on earth, but in heaven. An everlasting Father reigns forever. He is and always will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's important to remember there's almost a tension between this relationship, this intimacy that we have. But we come to a mighty God, a holy God, that we are in awe of, the awesomeness of God. So this Abba Father, it doesn't become a daddykins, it doesn't become a lovey-dovey, sentimental, mawkish way of speaking. Our dad is one of great power. Our dad is one of royal glory, one who has ultimate authority. And these two aspects of God are held together by him perfectly. And we are to learn to be able to approach God ourselves. We can be intimate and rest with him, secure because he is an all-powerful God, because he can move mountains, because he chose us and accepts us. We approach him with reverence as well as love, in holiness as well as abandonment, in security as well as wonder. To quote Mark Stibbe, who has written extensively on the Father heart of God, "The Abba Father is a truly loving dad. He is the most caring of fathers, who is always there for us, who never abandons us, who will keep his promises and loves to show his affection. But Abba Father is also a spirit. He is omnipotent and all-knowing. His voice is powerful and majestic, striking with flashes of lightning and shaking the desert," which is a verse that John brought this morning. "He is both loving and strong. Anything less, and we limit him." I'm reminded in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, when someone asked if Aslan, this great Christ figure that C.S. Lewis creates, is he safe? Is he safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the King, I tell you. We come to this great King and we're invited to call him Abba, Father. This level of intimacy with him. We see him both as King and Father. But the revelation of the Father comes first. We know that we are loved and cared by him, and without fear we can submit to this good and all-loving God. Surely this must be the ultimate. My dad is bigger than your dad. When we face situations in life, which many of us do, my dad is bigger than your dad. My dad can move mountains. My dad can bring around change in people's lives. My dad can bring healing into this situation. We have this Abba Father. Now, I'm well aware that there may be some people here, when they think of God as Father, it may not be an easy thing to do, because they may have had you may have had bad experiences of an earthly father. And there's a danger that we can project what we experience in an earthly sense onto our heavenly father. And being a father, as I'm sure other fathers here would say, is not an easy job. I'm sure that we're all acutely aware of our own failings as fathers, and we can look to improve that. And on the notice there, we've got a parenting course that's coming up in September. But it might be that your own earthly father was not around as you grew up. It may be for any number of reasons. He may have been detached in some way. He let down, promises weren't kept. He may have been really demanding on you as you grew up. He may have even been abusive. For myself, my father had cancer when I was about 10 years old. And through my teenage years, he just wasn't around through illness. So I grew up really not having the father around that time. Then he died when I was 19. And it's quite easy to kind of pick up wounds from that and to project or to think of, when we think of God as father, to think of the father through that lens. It may be that you can easily have an idea about relating to Jesus, but actually when you think of father, it might be a hard thing. And just Isla brought earlier on in the meeting this picture about a frog that's been gone down into the mud and it's built something around it to protect itself. It might be for yourself that you've had a situation in your own life and you've had to kind of just protect yourself from thinking too much about this father heart of God because you're carrying things from the past. But our Heavenly Father is not like any example we have of our own earthly father. He is perfect. He will always have time for you. He will always be there for you, and he will not let you down. Other Christians might let you down, but God the Father will not let you down. And we need to go through a process maybe of healing, a process of changing the way that we think, aligning our minds to the truth of God's word, the truth of the Father, heart of God, not relying on our own experiences. Because God wants to reveal his perfect Father heart love to you. And even this morning, as we break bread together, I want us to pray together that the Father himself is releasing more of love and level of intimacy to each one of us. That we can get so caught up ourselves and day by day know that intimacy of the Abba Father who's looking out for us, who's caring for us. I'm preaching in a few weeks' time, and I'm kind of doing a series of two really, but the next one I want to look at about adoption, how we are adopted into God's family. Because it's through that adoption we can then come and ask God as Abba Father. I'm going to ask the music group to come back up now. We're going to continue in our worship time. We'll probably have one song, then we go and collect the kids and they can come back in. And then we are going to break bread together to celebrate and to speak about Christ's death and resurrection, which gives us access to the Father. We're also going to pray that during that time, each of us, each of our hearts are softened by God, that we can go deeper and appreciate more that Father's heart that he has for us. So let's stand, please.